Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, New Orleans, and what a great morning it is. It looks like we might get a little rain this weekend, but for now, we'll take this beautiful weather that we have today going into this evening, and there's so many exciting things that are going on throughout the city. But first, on a more somber note, visitation will be this evening at D.W. Rhodes Funeral Home from 5:30 to 7:30 for Officer McNeil. Marcus McNeil, and there's a benefit fund set up for him that you can make donations at any Whitney Bank branch. He leaves a wife and two very, very young children. And the services will be at Household of Faith Church at 9300 I-10 Service Road on Saturday, October 1st. Visitation from 8 to 10 a.m., and then services will be immediately following with interment that will take place at Mount Olivet Cemetery at 4000 Norman Meyer Avenue. For those of you that want to participate, please do so by making a donation to over at Whitney. That's helping facilitate that, and thanks to them. And we know that the NOPD family, and in particular the law enforcement family and the first responder family, really appreciate the concern that everyone has for the McNeil family. So with that, in the last hour, No Filter Friday. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about your "Are You Kidding Me?" moments for the entire week or the week before, because we actually did not have it last week. But we want you to bring that on. We want to talk about what things happened that just were completely mystifying to you. In the second hour, we're going to talk to Zach Butterworth with the city attorney's office about this tug of war that seems to be going on between the Attorney General in a number of cities as it relates to the definition surrounding sanctuary cities and what that actually means. It seems to be you say tomato, I say tomata, and we're not sure exactly where this is all going to fall out, and we'll hear from Zach Butterworth and what his thoughts are in that process. And in this hour, joining me in the studio, two very important folks that play a very important role. They are the executive director, Simone Levine, from Court Watch NOLA, as well as Veronica Bard, who's the project director of Court Watch NOLA.
Thanks, Noel.
And they just issued a all-encompassing 48-page report outlining a lot around the bond or bail practices, working through the magistrate court system. Which is kind of where the first initial appearance, not kind of, but actually is, where the initial first appearance is for criminal defendants, and starts on the path of adjudicating these cases. And it's a very important first step. So why don't you first tell us about Court Watch NOLA, what you do, and what led y'all to this report that y'all issued just this past week.
Thanks, Sheriff. We really appreciate being on. So Court Watch NOLA has been around for 10 years. We first came into creation right after Katrina, when we were really just looking at a mess inside the courts. And specifically, what we are is we are 150 volunteers, community members, citizens of New Orleans, and we go into the courts and we monitor what is happening inside the courts. We collect data. We make sure that judges are acting appropriately. Public defenders are acting appropriately. Police are acting appropriately. Prosecutors are acting appropriately in the court. And we collect that data, and then with that data from citizens of New Orleans, we create these reports, including that 50-page report that's in front of you right now.
So what led you to decide that the magistrate court was going to be your next project? I know y'all had looked at them before, as I recall, and made some observations. And was this a follow-up to that? And what led y'all to issue this report?
So we've been in magistrate court now for a little over a year. And what simply made us look into it was people have been asking us for years to look at magistrate court. people that were concerned about bail practices in magistrate court, and we had wanted to do it, and then we got a larger grant to be able to extend into magistrate court, and then we just started, and we really think that we've already made quite an impact. And like you said, it is the first moment that a defendant has, first real moment that a victim has in court as well, in looking at the proceedings, and first time for felony defendants. That's your more serious crimes, but also your state misdemeanors now are in magistrate court. So your more minor crimes, your municipal misdemeanors go to a different court. We are watching that court as well, but this report specifically is about those more serious cases.
When I first started in the sheriff's office in Orleans Parish in 1977, we worked overtime in magistrate court at nights and on the weekends. Yeah. So I worked a lot in that particular court, and I noticed that the first recommendation dealt with how do you get to be a commissioner.
That's right.
In the court. And at that time, the head magistrate was elected, as I recall. Is that still the case?
Still the case.
And then you have how many commissioners that work under that elected judge?
So you have four commissioners, and they actually work under the direction of the judges. So the criminal district court judge manages them. The magistrate works alongside them but does not manage them.
So how do you become a commissioner? And I think that's the first recommendation that y'all make in your report.
That's right. So specifically, commissioners make $70,000. It's a part-time position. They're allowed to keep practicing law. And judges come together, all the felony court judges and the magistrate come together, and they make the decision on who's going to be a commissioner. There are no rules in place at all. There's one rule that's put into place by Louisiana law, which is that the judges just come together and make that decision. It's a closed-door decision. And our recommendation specifically relates to the fact that there should be some kind of written policy, and specifically some kind of conflict of interest policy involved in that process. And I'll tell you the reason why.
Yeah, there's not even an advertising of an opening, anybody interested, submit your name to somebody or anything else?
So basically what the advertisement, which is posted throughout the court itself, what it says is if you are interested, submit your resume to human resources, and that is about it. And in Orleans Parish, what happens is there's a few more requirements. The judges, and this is to their credit, the judges have added more requirements for the commissioners themselves, but they haven't added those requirements to themselves in making the decision on who should be a commissioner. And the reason why that's important is because, remember, judges are all elected. Our criminal district court judges are all elected. $150,000 usually in order to become an elected criminal district court judge. That's the amount of money you have to raise. And so who are they getting these campaign contributions from? They are coming from private defense attorneys, many of them, bail bondsmen, many of them, and those are the same people that come in front of these judges as well. So here is this commissioner appointment process, and we're very concerned that conflict of interest, those people that are giving campaign contributions, that might affect who becomes a commissioner. And so that's the reason why we have asked that they include some kind of conflict of interest rules, put some kind of conflict of interest rules into place to make sure that those people that have connections to the applicants, those commissioner applicants, that they recuse themselves. They just don't get involved in that decision at all if there's a campaign contribution that's connected.
Have the judges reviewed this, and is there any reaction to this report from the court?
That's a great question, Sheriff. So, yes, there has. And we actually went from judge to judge in criminal district court to speak to them. We gave them this recommendation about a week or so before the report, 2 weeks before the report came out. And many of them were very supportive, which is really to a credit to them that they're supportive. We left it in their hands, obviously, but we also left the policy in their hands. We said, this is what other jurisdictions are doing across the country. We'd love you to look at what the other jurisdictions are doing across the country, and then you come up with your own rules. And many of them were supportive. Some said that they were not opposed, that they would look into it. And so we have some confidence that this might happen.
And it's something that they should actually be concerned of, because as I recall, in the administration of justice, they have absolute immunity. But in the ministerial stuff that they do day in and day out in managing the courtroom, the courthouse, and things of that nature. They don't, so there are some potential liabilities if they don't set up a process by which to judge potential candidates for this all-important position.
Smart observation. That is right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can see, but I also see that they would embrace it. You know, sometimes you're so busy doing other things, you're not thinking about all of these things. So there's a lot of value as it relates to that particular observation.
And the judges who we spoke to, many of them have talked to us about how they're concerned as well about it.
Well, great. We'll continue this conversation when we come back and talking about some of the other observations that have been made by CourtWatch NOLA on this all-important judicial system and the effectiveness and efficiency of that system. So stay with us. This is Newell Norman on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Simone Levine and Veronica Bard from CourtWatch NOLA, and more importantly, we're talking about magistrate court, which is the initial contact that criminal defendants have with the court system, and we're just talking about how commissioners are picked and the recommendations that you made that there should be more of a significant outline relative to the policies and procedures and how these individuals are picked. And recommendation number two, very, very important because it has become the source of a lot of litigation around the country as to what bail actually means. And the Supreme Court has stated that the function of bail is limited to the fixing of bail for any individual defendant must be based upon standards relevant to the purpose of assuring the presence of that defendant. And with as many criminal defendants as we have coming into the system, I know in Jefferson Parish we've been in overcrowded conditions for a long time. We continue to make overcrowded releases, and it's a delicate balance between the setting of that bail and the capacity that you have in the jail. So you have to go about it in a very deliberate way in determining that operationally makes sense and making sure that the umbrella of the constitutional protections are preserved as well.
That's right. And, you know, we had mentioned before, Newell, that we were looking to Jefferson Parish. Jefferson Parish has had their own pretrial services program in place now for decades, and it's worked. And the reason why we think it's compelling is because we do have to make evidence-based decisions when it comes to who to release and who to incarcerate. Because, let's face it, there are some people that really shouldn't be released. And we need to know which ones they are, and we need to know which ones they are not. And what we found in the report was that, in fact, there's three times the amount of low-risk defendants than there is high-risk defendants. And when I say risk, I'm talking about risk of getting rearrested, so that's public safety, whether they're going to be hurting us when they're released, or risk of returning back to court. And so we found three times the amount of low-risk defendants. And increasingly, we feel that we are moving toward the right direction. We do have a program here in place in New Orleans where pretrial risk factors are being embraced. Increasingly, we're seeing that. There's some outliers, and we can talk about that a little later, but increasingly we're seeing it happen. So that constitutional practice you're talking about where you do not set a blanket amount, let's say $2,500 for every single defendant that walks into your court, we are increasingly seeing that improve. We're increasingly seeing the judge look at individuals individually and see, are they going to be a risk to public safety? Are they going to be a risk of returning to court?
Are you guys opposed to scheduled bonds, where they have a scheduled bond sheet that if this is your first offense and you're arrested for these enumerated offenses, your bond is X, so that you can – it actually allows those folks to get out of jail quicker because they don't have to wait till the next day or wait till that evening to get before a magistrate in those cases, and it just kind of moves the system quicker.
So we actually don't have that in Orleans Parish, and we encourage folks to actually look at the defendant individually instead of just by their crime itself, because what we found in the studies found is that if you look at the defendant just for the crime that the individual has supposedly been involved in, that you end up releasing people that may be more dangerous than what you think, and then also keeping people in jail who are not as dangerous as you think, that you have to take all the factors into consideration.
And it's a slippery slope for judges because it can be very volatile.
Yeah.
I mean, if you or I could predict human behavior, you wouldn't be sitting there and I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
That's right.
We'd
That's
be
right.
on a talking, speaking tour around the world.
That's right.
You know, working our magic.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of times we lose sight of that. I mean, we're really taking best guess estimates of what we think the proclivity of these individuals are as it relates to their associative risk. And, you know, it's for me, it was always about selective incapacitation, meaning, you know, looking at the impact criminal, understanding their criminal history as an indicator of future human behavior and their noncompliance to previous court orders. If they didn't show up in previous cases, to me, that was always a pretty damn good indicator of what was going to happen in
the
future.
That's integral.
And Noel, I'd like to talk about a little bit.
So I've got to take a hard break. We're going to CBS News, and we'll let you talk at this point in time right after we get back. This is Newell Norman on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Simone Levine and Veronica Bard with Courtwatch NOLA and a report that they've issued on the Magistrate Court in Criminal District Court of New Orleans. And when we left off, we were talking about the constitutional standard of bail and the policy surrounding what type of bail or the amount of bail would be given to criminal defendants that come before the court. And I think y'all have a pilot project that y'all are working on. And so why don't we talk about that for a minute?
Well, it's actually not our pilot project. It's the City of New Orleans' pilot project. And I think that really what our report does is highlight the importance of that individualized decision on whether a particular defendant will return to court on time or be the likelihood of being rearrested while out on bail. And this pilot was based on a $1.5 million grant by the MacArthur Foundation and involves a number of city government agencies. And the results were really favorable. From April to July of 2017, they found that if Commissioner Jonathan Freeman decided to have a presumption of releasing low-risk or low-to-moderate-risk defendants, then he would try to do that. And releasing those defendants on their own recognizance without any bail amount set, or if the law did not allow for that, then he would set a nominal bond. Nominal bond would be about $2,500 or lower. And really what it found was that comparing Jonathan Friedman's section with the other four sections in magistrate court, the rate of defendants returning to scheduled court was exactly the same. It was 90%. And we were talking before the break about predicting human behavior and whether we're getting a little bit better at it. And what we found is that the existence of New Orleans Pretrial Services is really doing just that, that they are the boots on the ground. As soon as a defendant is booked into jail, they are literally housed in the jail and interviewing that defendant immediately, trying to do background checks and gathering all sorts of information to decide whether the defendant has a risk of not failing to return to scheduled court or of being rearrested while out on bail. And so we truly commend all 12 judges of the Criminal District Court, as well as Commissioner Jonathan Friedman, for allowing this pilot project and seeing its success.
So for the purposes of the listening audience, some of the stuff that they do in pretrial services is they have follow-up phone calls, communicating with the individual that's out, making sure that there's no changes in their status, checking if they've been rearrested.
That's right.
And if they are, they go into court and suggest that, you know, that a warrant be issued or an at-large capias be issued for this individual in order to bring them back into the system to force compliance. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you call what some people would say are these touchy-feely programs, it really is all about accountability.
That's right.
Because the goal is to get them back into the system, correct?
That's right. And the goal is to get them back into the court to make sure that we're not chasing individuals, to make sure that we're not releasing individuals that are going to go on to commit other crimes. And the pilot project that Veronica was talking about, this pilot project involved low-risk defendants, all
right.
Low-risk. And so what we were talking about was increasing the amount of release of these low-risk defendants. And going back again to Jefferson Parish, making sure that we know who the high-risk defendants are. And y'all have had that program in place for decades.
Well, we've had Code 6 in for decades, and
yeah.
It's still very vibrant, where we actually objectively, on an objective scale, grade every inmate that comes
That's
in
right.
as it relates to their propensity for violence.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at criminal history, other familial indicators and things of that nature in order to determine risk, because
right.
it's a guesstimate. And
right.
so if you can use as much objective criteria as possible and collect all of that empirical data, you can make more learned decisions. You know, when I go to the text line and I get comments like this, what's the point of jail if you know you're going to let them out anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact of the matter is you arrest these people to hold them accountable for their criminal acts.
That's right.
And in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty, and then you got to go through that process. As frustrating sometimes as that may be to folks, and obviously sometimes to law enforcement and others, the fact of the matter is that we got to make sure that the sanctity of that is preserved, because that's what makes our system better than every other system.
That's right.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back. It's time to take a break. We'd love to hear from you, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell Norman on WWL. We're back with Simone Levine and Veronica Bard of Court Watch NOLA. We were talking off line just a second ago, and I think it's important to put this in its proper perspective, in that when you look at the overall jail capacity, it's not that you can keep all of these folks in jail, because there's just simply not enough jail beds. So when I look at the arrest rate of my experience as sheriff in Jefferson Parish, we had 1,200 beds, and we were arresting probably 15 times that number on warrants, attachments, and new charges every year.
Mm-hmm.
So the system can't handle what the throughput was at that point in time. So it's not that you do this because you want to do it. You do it because you have to do it out of necessity. One, the system can't handle it, and there's a constitutional right to bail.
Right. That's right. And you know, the other thing, too, that we've got to look at is the fact that we need to reserve those beds for those that really do truly pose a danger to us. And the example we always look at is Telly Hankton and Telly Hankton's $1 million bail that made us absolutely not safer here in Orleans Parish. $1 million bail was set on his case. This is before he was convicted of the four murders. He was out on one of the murder cases, and there was no pretrial services, so they didn't look at his risk. They didn't see that he was so dangerous. He paid his bail. And then afterwards, he went on to commit all these other murders and get convicted for four different murders. And then, of course, they never established it, but we know that he made threats against the mayor, the DA, an assistant district attorney, and also ordered that pickup truck to be driven right into the DA's office.
So that we're clear, oftentimes people don't really connect the dots. What you're saying is that had there been a more deep dive look into Telly Hankton and what he was doing, his bond might have been $10 million before it's all said and done.
His bond should have been no bond.
Or no bond, correct.
His bond should have been we keep him in the system and we set no bond so that he cannot be released, because he is just too high of a risk.
Absolutely.
And we need to look at that risk factor in order to make sense of which person is which, and in order to preserve those beds the way that you were talking about.
Let's go to the talk lines. We have Jay on line one. What say you, Jay?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just two questions real quick. Since y'all were just talking about bail and all that, What is NOLA Court Watch's opinion on drug testing as a condition of bail?
Ooh, I am so happy that you asked about that because we have a recommendation relating to drug testing. Specifically, we ask that our pretrial services program keep track of those that have drug testing, because what we found is that that's increased over 10 years on a national basis. There was a study that was done. Now, nationally, 90% of those that are out on bail are drug tested, and it does not help in the rearrest rate, and it does not help them getting back to court. And so we're asking our pretrial services program to keep track of that data ourselves.
What do you mean by it doesn't help in rearrest rate?
So what we found is that those that were required to do that drug test when they were out, that it did not improve the rate of rearrest when they were out of jail.
Okay. We got to take another break. Jay, stay on the line, and we're going to come back to your second question as soon as we come out of the break. And we're talking about the all-important bail system in the Commissioner Court for Criminal District Court in New Orleans with Simone Levine and Veronica Barr. Excuse me. Stay with us. We'll be right back on WWL. We're back, and on a text line, what's the point of following the law listening to you guys? Well, this is where putting out there what some of the trials and tribulations of managing a criminal justice system present, and the fact of the matter is the balance of interests of constitutional rights as opposed to the, you know, working in concert with the rights of the criminal defendant, you know, in what you ultimately have to craft. We have less than a minute. I'll give you guys the last word.
So I would say that we are moving in the right direction in criminal district court. So generally, the higher the risk that somebody poses to when they're released, if they're going to be rearrested, if they're not going to come back to court, the higher the bail amount. The lower the risk, the lower the bail amount. However, there are outliers, and so we're really asking the court to take a look at these. For example, 17% of those with low-risk scores still had a bail greater than $10,000. And at the other end of the spectrum, 22% of defendants with high-risk scores had a bail of $5,000 or less. So we have room to make some improvements here, but we're moving in the right direction.
But your goal is to make sure they show up, face their charges, and get through court.
That's
you all
right.
So much for joining us this morning. It's now time for the $1,000 nationwide free money contest. The code word this hour is CREATE. Text CREATE to 72881 at 72881. Score $1,000 the easy way. One text could win you free money. Listen for the next code word before the top hour news at 2 p.m. Good luck from Smart Radio Intercom and all of us at WWL. Stay with us. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to Zach Butterworth, the city attorney for the city of New Orleans, talking about the tit-for-tat that's going on between the federal government and the city relative to sanctuary cities.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.